All right, to start, we need a, I need a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the September town board meeting.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Jones?
Hi.
Is there any further discussion?
I'm sorry. Opposed? Motion carried.
All right, we have no old business, new business. I'd like to go ahead and let everyone know the town board has received a copy of the planning board's recommendations regarding the Pathstone Development Deerfield Apartments preliminary site plan application. At this time, I don't view the planning board recommendation as a yes or no. I view it as a not ready to make a decision. There can be possible issues with sewer and water service to the entire project. City of Utica, Town of Marcy, and the planning board have questioned this. We can't approve or disapprove at this time based on the planning board review. I've been in contact a lot over the past week and this weekend with Assemblywoman Buttonshan. She's got a meeting with the Commissioner of Housing this week to discuss the entire project, which is her obligation to respond to the questions the residents of her district have posed. So our town resident questions right now are being vetted at the state level, where Assemblywoman Buttonshan's working to get us clear and factual answers. Until these answers are, or questions are answered, I feel we cannot make a decision at this time. We'll roll right into resolutions. We have resolution 48-2025, public hearing on local law number 2, 2025 unsafe buildings. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approves a public hearing for public comment entitled Unsafe Buildings on November 10th, 2025, scheduled at 6 p.m. at the Deerfield Municipal Building. I need a, would somebody like to entertain a motion to approve resolution 48-2025?
A motion?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 49-2025, public hearing on 2026 town budget. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield holds a public hearing on the 2026 town budget. This hearing will be November 10th, 2025 at 5 p.m. Wait, is that correct? 5 p.m.?
Yes.
Yes, 5 p.m. at the municipal building. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve resolution 49-2025?
I'll make the motion.
I second.
Is there any further discussion?
There is, please. Is that budget available for the public to view, and how so?
That budget was submitted to the clerk's office September 30th.
So how does the public view this? They must come in and request it.
They can come in and request it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's in Karen's office. Yep. You're up.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 50-2025, appointment of town assessor. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approve appointing Matt Pelusic as the town assessor of the town of Deerfield. This is effective upon filing with the Secretary of State. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve resolution 50-2025?
I motion.
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion?
So that's a public hearing to approve him?
No, this is to approve.
This is to approve.
Yes, sir.
No public comment.
No, sir.
No, we got
it.
Yes, yes.
Questions?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 51-2025. The extension of the moratorium on battery energy storage. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approves extending the moratorium on battery energy storage systems until February 28th of 2026. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve resolution 51-2025?
I make the motion.
I second.
Is there any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, moving on to official reports. County Legislator, Mr. Buck.
Good evening. So a lot of good things going on with the county. As everybody is aware, Chobani is in the midst of the development of the triangle at the Griffiths. The project probably is going to be a lot larger long-term planning. With that being said, we're hoping that we can supply all the product that they need to build their product at that plant right from here from Oneida County. So we've worked with Mohawk Valley Edge, Cornell Cooperative Extension to build programs, looking at different ways to help our farmers grow their business so that we can keep as much money here in Oneida County as possible through that. So if someone's interested, reach out to Mohawk Valley Edge, myself, put them in the right direction. We also have the septic tank reimbursement program that is coming to an end. So up to $10,000 a resident can get reimbursed back for replacing the septic tank at their home. And lastly, County Executive made his speech last week announcing the 2.9% tax increase. Something that, you know, I personally am not a fan of, but we've received our books. We are sitting down and going through where we think we can make some changes as legislators. We've got some workshops planned, some work crews, and hopefully working together we can come back with the right thing that benefits everyone in Oneida County. That's it.
All right, thanks, Dave. Quick question.
For once, no resident complaints.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Mary must have lost my number.
I sent you an email on October 2nd there regarding your stance on the project.
It refreshed, you probably have it.
Okay, did you just send it? I haven't seen anything come through.
Probably around 5.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll check that out, thank you.
But as far as that is concerned, definitely I am in support of housing in Oneida County. You know, we did a recent study, it shows we need housing. No doubt about it, with the uptick, with Chobani, Micron, the different things that are going on in Herkimer County. We need housing, there's no doubt about it. But I am not in support of the Fast Home project because of the concerns that our townspeople have. There's a lot of concerns and questions that we have.
Thank you. All right. Councilperson Phil Sacco.
Thank you. I have a few things since last month. I had a close call from a North Gage Road resident, Mr. Maxwell. I went and visited the resident and was addressing it through a letter to begin with. At a close call of Holly Mann, there was a shed in the front yard. Mr. Maxwell talked with the resident and the shed will be moved. That's a close violation. And the person that complained was also contacted and very happy with the outcome. I worked with Bill on the unsafe building local law. It'll enhance our current property maintenance local law and give us the power to have condemned houses torn down. It gives the town the power to do that if it can't be resolved through a process, which they're tough ones, but it's been going on for months, several letters. Mr. Maxwell's made a whole list of everything he's done, and I think it's a good thing. I hope we don't have to use it, but if we do, at least we have some say, which is great. And then I have I'm meeting with HCA, and that means asset management, to conduct property appraisals for New York Municipal Insurance Reciprocal, NYMER. That's who we have our town insurance with. There's 7 items. It's a physical inspection of the Muni building. I have to have blueprints. The Muni building, that ought to be a good one. It was built in 1959 where we sit. The highway garage would be a little easier, 2006. The sand salt building, which is even newer, and the cold storage building, which I don't know how old it is. But anyway, Sam's working on the highway stuff. They'll also inspect Wilderness Park Pavilion, the Wilderness Park restrooms, and the Wilderness Park playground. So that's coming up. It's probably going to take all day. But they told me the blueprints that are supplied don't leave the town, which is great. You don't give them away and not, maybe not get them back. So it's a requirement we have to do through the insurance company. And it's kind of good for us to make sure we have the proper insurance value-wise on the buildings we own. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilperson Daphne Jones.
Yeah. In regard to the Poland Joint Fire District Dissolution of Poland Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated, I called Oneida County Emergency Services to understand the process before reporting on any other key issues. A fundamental understanding of the process is crucial before anything else can be discussed. Fire protection is the legal obligation of the fire district. This is what emergency services told me. This is covered by the amount the town pays to the fire districts to provide fire protection. There's no such thing as mutual aid contract. There are mutual aid pacts that are used, and the county fire coordinators decide which department areas cover and report to calls. This reaffirms what Deerfield Fire Chief Jim Griffiths emailed to Supervisor Sacco last month. With that, the state comptroller's office relayed to me the same information, that fire protection is the legal responsibility of the fire district and is something that taxpayers voted on back in 2018 when the district boundaries were set. I also talked with town attorney Bill Schmidt on this same thing to better understand the town's role in this issue, reaffirming as well what was told to me by the state comptroller's office and Oneida County Emergency Services. After all of these conversations, I then attended Poland Joint Fire District meeting on September 16th to understand for myself what's going on and what's being done. I learned that they were having a special meeting to discuss fire contracts on October 7th, but that meeting was closed shortly after the meeting was open due to not having contracts for other district commissioners to review. I would advise and highly recommend to have their attorneys present and or refer any contracts to their attorneys before agreeing or signing anything with Poland Joint Fire District. In regard to fire and emergency services response times surrounding imposing Pathstone project, many people have asked if the town board has contacted surrounding fire departments for their input, especially in regard to the number of calls that are already being addressed to current housing projects and longer than preferred response times. I contacted Utica Fire Department and talked with a lieutenant. The amount of calls the UFD goes to housing projects versus how many calls they get in a size relative outside of housing projects is less than you think. Think about condensed population versus the same amount of people outside of that building. The number of calls is relatively the same. Kennedy Plaza was brought up a few times, so I asked how many calls UFD has made to Kennedy Plaza. Their answer was that there hasn't been a single automatic alarm called Kennedy Plaza in months, almost years. Why? Due to too many auto alarm calls, the fire alarm system was reevaluated and switched to reduce the volume of auto alarms. And since the adjustments have been made, there's been little to no calls. The Olbeston building after the remodel, nothing. Before, at least one call per chapter. Then, Supervisor Sacco and I attended the Planning Board public hearing in regards to the Pathstone project. Reminder, the entire town board cannot attend a Planning Board meeting due to quorum, ethical concerns, among many other issues. This is why we have two different boards set at two different times with two different functions. I received a resident complaint in regard to the conduct and behavior of Councilperson Fusco on social media, specifically deleting and blocking other residents from his Councilman Fusco public Facebook account. I would remind all elected officials that social media and the internet is a public forum, just as this meeting here tonight is. If you would not kick someone out of the board meeting or prevent them from speaking during their right of privilege of the floor, then you ethically and in fairness of freedom of speech should refrain from doing so on social media. See Deerfield Local Law 2 of 2002, Section 1, Legislative Intent. The Town Board of the Town of Deerfield recognizes that there are rules of ethical conduct for public officers and employees which must be observed if a high degree of moral conduct is to be obtained and if public confidence is to be maintained in our unit of local government. The proper operation of the town government requires that its officers and employees be independent, impartial, objective, unbiased, and responsible to the people of the town of Deerfield, that public office not be used for personal gain, that public officers and employees maintain the highest standards of integrity, and discharge faithfully the duties of their office, regardless of personal consideration, and that the public have confidence in the officers and employees thereof. Also received a targeted texting spam attempt with someone attempting to impersonate Supervisor Sacco, good for you, and using a fake number most likely generated from an app that generates new fake numbers with each text. Just want town officials to be aware of this type of scam and be diligent. I have in here verbatim. I don't know what kind of phishing attempt or goal the spam was or why it would be made to a tech-savvy millennial council person that manages the town's website, but here we are. From the state trooper's office, there's no real law broken. However, impersonating a government employee is, in fact, against the law. As a reminder, spam and scams can be reported to the FTC at reportftc.com. While every report does not get acted upon, all reports are looked at, and when trends occur, they can use all reports to more accurately pinpoint where they originate from, just as we had in June, reporting severe weather events with the NOAA helps record weather trends and identify severe storms and tornado occurrences. And lastly, Mary, thank you for updating the landscaping in front of the building. It looks beautiful. And that is all, pending any questions.
All right, thanks, Daphne. Councilperson Dave Kolick.
I have received all three estimates for the camera system. My low estimate, after reviewing, had some extension issues, which I have to get back to the provider. And I will have definitely all that information together for the board to look over next month. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Councilperson Daniel Fusco.
We've talked a lot about the comprehensive master plan, and I understand a committee was formed. Has any progress been made or anything proactive direction been taken on this?
You can address that to Patty and Laura.
Okay.
Yeah, the master plan. We have a master plan. Yeah, we haven't done anything on it yet. We're also coming into the cycle where funding next year would be available. So I think that's a target to try and get that done before everything and get a consultant, which we thought we had somebody. So.
Is there any consideration or any further consideration given to my recommendation to staff your committee with people with expertise in areas such as real estate?
When we get to that point, we'll look at it, yeah.
Because you can be doing that now before you actually spend money with a consultant. You save a lot of money because you get a lot of work done ahead of time that you're not paying somebody else to do.
We will look into it.
Okay, now this is, I think, of critical importance now because if we're thinking about committing a housing project, whether it's the current one or any other, a comprehensive master plan is extremely critical. I mean, you can't pass, you can't even enforce codes or you can't pass anything without a good comprehensive master plan. One of the things with any big development like the ARC and the Pathstone project would be a sizable development. There's a lot of subsidiary stuff that occurs. How are you going to manage that if you don't have a solid comprehensive master plan?
Well, so as you brought up before, Mr. Fusco, when we were talking about the solar project, you refer to the master plan as almost like the Constitution. It's in place, and it's a document that can endure. And since then, I've actually talked to some attorneys, and their question to me was, you know, how much has the town of Deerfield changed over the last stretch of time? And it's changed some, but realistically, it hasn't. So, I mean, even by your own words, it's an enduring document that can last for a long time. So, I know so it does need to be updated.
My words actually were a contract to the residents. It's really a contract. Because when I decided to invest in Deerfield, I looked at the codes. We didn't have a comprehensive master plan at that time. So I looked at the codes and ordinances and said, this is a safe town to move into. So I referred to that as a contract to the residents. Now, when Pathstone, who's the solar company?
Clear.
Thank you, sir. When ClearPath was coming in, they told the planning board, oh, that comprehensive master plan is too old, it cannot be used. And the board went along with that. You are correct. It is enduring. It does still continue. And what I was going to get to is when viewing any project currently, such as the ARCN or the Pathstone development, have we looked at, is it in line with the current comprehensive master plan?
Our recommendations are in line. Our recommendations to the town board are in line with the master plan.
And we'll see that recommendation.
You should have a copy of our recommendations in your packet.
The one I just got today?
It was submitted.
Actually, I just got it today.
Well, it was in the mailbox. I put it in your mailbox on Thursday.
So anyway, This doesn't have to be argumentative, Patty. It's a solid question.
Well, you asked me a question, and I told you that the document was available to you on Thursday in your mailbox.
All right. So I would once again reiterate, it's incredibly important that, number one, we make sure that any project is in alignment with the current, that if we are going to upgrade it to satisfy the changing times, that we really need to get on there. That's what I have with that. Of course, every day I'm getting hit with questions and concerns about the Horatio Street project. One question that I got that I was really at a loss with was, at what point, and I guess I would direct this to the supervisor, at what point does this project get review in terms of what taxes will be paid, how does it impact our town budget and stress our resources? At what point in this decision process does that come into scope?
These are questions that Mary Ann's working at the state level to find out, as well as Matt Plusik's been trying to dig for these for a couple weeks now. He's got calculators that he's trying to build off of what Pathstone has provided to him. Mm-hmm. But again, nothing at this point. We're trying to get that answer.
Okay, so that's forthcoming. And that's before that hits, the board will answer that question, not so much the planning board, the town board will answer it.
The town board will answer that question.
Town board, okay, thank you. Mr. Highway Superintendent, I've been getting calls on this one. Is there any green waste curbside pickup forthcoming this fall?
Yes, sir. Right. We've had them for the last 4 or 5 years in November.
In November?
Yeah. We do one in October. It's every month right through November.
Okay.
November 1 is a cross between green waste and leaf pickup.
So is town-wide each month?
Each month, yes.
So someone that now has something out, they should expect someone to come along sometime this month?
Yeah, until November,
That's what I can tell them. Okay. Yep. Thank you. Mr. Supervisor, I presented a couple estimates for the roof repair, the ice breaks on the roof, and some siding repair and gutter installation on the building for building protection and maintenance. Last month, you told me you would create a resolution and it would be presented to the board this month. Something else had been not received, I haven't seen that.
Right.
What's the status on that?
Well, after reviewing the procurement policies, I got to get those back to you. The town procurement policy states that we must have at least 3 quotes. The one that you received from Mr. Buck was not enough to work off of. I mean, it was really nothing. So I'm going with 1 quote, and even the quote that I'm here. The initial quote from Gutter Center Enterprise, I mean, half the thing is cut off. I'm not sure where to go with this, so I'll present these back to you. If you can get 3 quotes for me and clarify, what we're looking for.
Did you say 2 would be sufficient?
I haven't looked at your procurement policy in a long time, but typically it's 3.
That's what I thought.
Well, we can go back through.
You get 3, and I didn't hound the third guy, because you had mentioned 2 would be sufficient. So now,
even so, after reviewing that second one, I can't move forward with that quote. There's nothing there.
But Greg, this is color coded. That's why I had emailed you.
I know, but
that was very clear to read.
But didn't it came out exactly like that?
Not if you view it on your screen.
I did.
You can see it a lot.
I mean, I'll double check it.
Yeah, please. Okay.
So if you can get me another one, I'll double check the procurement policy and get back to you. But I believe it's 3.
Okay.
If not, we got to get us.
I will hound the other guy.
If it's something that's difficult to obtain 3 quotes from, you make a note of that, and then the board can consider 2. But you have to document your efforts to get 3 before you can.
We'll have to ask Mr. Buck's company to do a more detailed estimate, and I will hound the other guy who did come here. I spent about an hour with him and did a detailed inspection of the building. It should be nothing for him to give that to, so I don't know why he didn't. However, winter's coming.
Yeah.
Winter's coming. And the insurance assessment that Supervisor Sackler mentioned, this might impact this, when they look at the building, because there's an open hole in the soffit there.
Yeah.
And so maybe we can at least let them know that we are getting estimates to repair that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect. So I'll get on that right away. I wish I had known earlier.
Yeah.
Because I hound people. You know, I give people two strikes and they're out, and especially when I'm spending money with them. So I wrote that other guy off. But he did all the work. It should be an easy thing for him to give that to me.
I will
maybe
double check
Buckley,
that.
We'll give you a more detailed one. And then okay. We have our three. I will submit it. I will next month. As soon as I have them, I will submit them to you.
Okay.
And it is something we probably should move forward on.
Absolutely.
The siding repair, that's not something I would recommend. I thought it was, you know, out of scope. But the question would be, do we have any of the siding that came down? Is any of it in storage in the garage?
I don't believe we do.
Possibly.
Do you know?
Possibly.
Possibly. It'd be nice if it was.
And I don't know.
It's not as bleached as this, but it's still because.
Yeah, because that has been scoped.
I saw it hit.
Mr. Fusco, to me, the siding is the most important component because it protects the wood. Just so you know, in the past years, we had gutters between the leaf falling and ice. They didn't hold up very good.
Yeah, this of course has ice breaks. It has leaf guards, and it's a professional, high quality gutter that will withstand it. That's why you hire a professional to do this. He's got the guy that did this quote. I hope you go with him. I thought he was really, really good.
So we have a very small basement.
You know, when you protect the building, you always, like, you go buy a house, you look at the basement, you look at the roof. So you start with the roof. The siding that's down is under the eave. So, but I would like to get that fixed too. We really need to do that to protect everybody.
I believe Mary approached me and mentioned that she, even if we don't have it picture perfect, she might have some siding that we could use to at least patch it and to get us through until a decision's made to protect the wood.
Right, but you have a big hole on the port side.
Yeah, I think that was part of Mr. Fusco's initial quote.
Yeah, but you can actually get to it now because you couldn't before.
I would recommend whatever we do professionally.
Okay. Yeah.
You could probably get away with just plain white siding because you do have white trim going through.
Well, let's Mr. Fusco get the quotes and we'll go. Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah.
And regarding Councilperson Jones's statement, kind of accusing me of blocking people, I disagree with that. If ever I am attacked in any way, I will defend myself. Facebook does have policies that I am in alignment with. If somebody attacks me, I will not get into a tit for tat with anyone on Facebook. So when this dirt happens, I use Facebook to communicate with people. I do not get into, fifth grade food fights with anyone. If I'm attacked, they will be blocked immediately. So just, and that is in line with Facebook policies. So don't attack me, I won't block you. That's my report.
Okay, thank you. Town Clerk Karen Day.
I'm going to stick my nose in where it doesn't belong. The siding that's coming off around the building seems to be the first siding, the first panel, all the way around. So if we just replaced that, we could, as Mary said, go with a white or go with brown that matches the roof. It would almost look as if that was a design we chose. Another option, if we get someone who can do it, except for runners, nobody goes behind the building. So you could likely take pieces off the back of the building and fix what people see in the front
and patch that up with
something that's as close as could be. But that's just the clerk's opinion.
I learned something from both of the guys that came out. The reason it's coming off is it was installed incorrectly. There should be a crimp on there so it snaps in. That's why just the top one.
Yep.
The other thing is that size siding is no longer available according to these guys. So, and it's not just aesthetics. It's safety, as was brought up, the safety of the building.
Right.
So we got a quote to put actually a vinyl board. They can cut a vinyl board that size and wrap it all around. And like you say, you could offset it so it looks kind of
like it was.
But it was very expensive. So I'll revisit this. I'm happy to do it, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Okay.
I just want to see it done professionally.
The clerk's office. We have come to slower part of the dog numeration. I have to thank everybody, whether you had a dog or you didn't have a dog. I really appreciate the response that I got. Outside of only two people that got a little snippy with me, out of this whole entire town, I think they did an outstanding job. I really wanted to print the numbers, but we were up almost to 200 dogs that inadvertently were not licensed. And you know, all kinds of reasons. Some didn't know, some did it 1 year and thought that was all they ever had to do. But I was amazed at the response from our town residents responding to that. I really was pleased, and we now have a lot of our dogs. I finally caught up. So that I might possibly be looking into going away from letters to remind people and maybe go to a postcard to remind people each year, because the postage is astronomical. So I can get it down a little lower and send a postcard to remind you each year. We may be doing that, but that might be for next year.
Plus the newsletter.
Well, I put it in the newsletter. That never made any difference whatsoever. So as far as the clerk's office, we've been very busy. I've been playing a lot of catch up, but that's about it. I've been working with Daphne as far as getting all our minutes, newsletters, and other updates on our programs, events, and departments. So we are trying, and we're doing a pretty good job. December tax season will start to show its face in my office, which is nothing I like. So I want to get as caught up as I can so that it's freewheeling when we get going with taxes again. And that's it. And you want me to do youth program?
Please.
The youth program is still in its hiatus. We haven't started, we haven't had an October event yet. I do have Teal Farms booked on the 26th of October. Any town resident, grandchild, are more than welcome to come up to Teal Farm, and they have an indoor barn playground with corn and all slides and all kinds of stuff. They have we will be doing a wagon ride, a corn maze, and they get to pick a pumpkin when they leave. So outside of that, I'm still working with the zoo to try and get us scheduled for the spooktacular. And that's what I got for the month of October. And that's it.
Karen, the Teals, that's just come anytime they're open 10 to 4, or are you guys a certain time that you want to do that?
I think I scheduled it at 1 o'clock. They can come in and out. I mean, you don't have to be there at 1. You can come at 1:30 and do your thing. I will likely pack up at 3-ish. And leave, but you can stay until they close.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Highway, Sam.
Yeah. A few things. We'll be working on our last paving project on Hedgewood Place. That's right now projected to be paved on Wednesday, the 15th. The rest of our paving is complete for the year, and shoulders done, sealants are installed. Road striping is complete. We're still waiting for some guardrail repairs and installation work to happen. They're telling me sometime October, but I don't have an official date yet on that. So that's still in the works. As you heard, we talked in the past about our 2011 550. It's pretty rotted out. We've been using it for park use. I've been trying to sell off some of the pieces on it with no luck. We might be better off selling it as a complete unit and possibly looking for something for parks next year, something to think about.
What was that equipment again?
That's that 2011 F-550 we had. Right now, we're using it for just the park stuff there in the summer months.
And what would you want to replace it with?
It, to me, just a regular pickup would work fine. I mean, for what they're doing with it.
Okay. And what year is it?
2011.
And that's something that could go on auctions in the next year?
Yep. I've been trying to sell these. It's an F-550, it's a Ford.
Okay. And you could get away with a four-wheel drive pickup?
Yeah, without a doubt. Because we're probably going to pull a mower around and doing some small parts where might put a little material on it.
Question for you. Does the town still own that Badger?
Yes.
Is that something you use?
We haven't. We use it. We haven't used it much, let's put it that way.
How many years?
Do I want to sell it? We can sell it, but it's probably only worth about $2,000. It's worth more in scrap steel than it is to...
But it could be sold because it's on the insurance list.
Yep, it could be sold.
So you got that's in the 80s, isn't it?
86.
And that's a Badger?
Yep. In working condition.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yep.
How about a four-wheel drive truck? Would it need to be brand new or could it
be
used?
No, not at all.
New or used, depending on the bus vehicle?
Yeah.
Because it's basically limited, right?
Yeah, it's just summertime use for the parts and really all we're using it for.
Not working.
We do have a salt contract in place.
Yay! Sick of asking every month.
Oneida County is going to be supplied by Cargill, which was a past supplier of salt for us for 25-26 season. The contract might extend out a little further than that. I got to check a little further into it. But we are covered for this year for sure. We're going to start hauling sand next week. It'll take us roughly about 2 weeks to get our building filled. And then we're going to be working on some maintenance projects if the weather allows. We still have a little paving here and there for maintenance work to do. We'll be working on that stuff. Some ditches to clean, things like that. Culverts, people have permits for to work on that too. We're getting plow equipment back on the trucks for winter season. I'm sure everybody wants to see that. We will be out this week, start to collect leaves. We intended to go out last week. We pulled our truck out. Of course, it's only got a 1 year on it so far, it was new. They came in the spring and did an update on the computer system. We pulled it out in the spring, or just recently, to go use it, and it won't even turn on. So they're coming tomorrow to re-update the computer system on it, and that is supposed to be gonna fix it. So they're coming out of Rogers to do that tomorrow. There's some highway garage maintenance things that need to be taken care of. The blacktop is coming apart in the yard, but I think that's something we can take care of. And maybe next year talk about possibly sealing that driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Before we lose all the blacktop. I think a lot of that we can do ourselves. Oh, and some of the metal on the cold store, Harold or cold storage building, when they came and did an inspection for our trash building this year, she made a comment about, because the birds are in there, and she made a comment on that, sending material down there with bird feces all over it. So just to let the board know.
Should have had her come after the flies out.
Yeah, I know.
How many, I just have a quick question. How many ton and yards of sand do you plan on hauling?
We usually haul about 4,000 yards.
Which is a ton and a half, right?
Yeah.
4,000 yards?
Yep.
What's a good going price right now?
It's still varying right now. We're in the high four range.
Four something?
Yep.
Okay, curious. Salt?
Salt right now is 68 and change a ton.
And how many tons do you pay that?
1,100 is what I usually order.
1,100?
Yep.
1,100 ton?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I'll just make sure we're covered.
Sam, I have a question for me.
Sure.
We're talking about building maintenance. Every morning when I drive down the road, I see in the the fuel tank shed, there's a tree growing up from the basement on the east side.
Oh, it's right next to that little guardrail on that.
Yeah, it's between the guardrail and in the building. That might not be a good thing to let that sucker get too big, you know? Do you ever look at that and think about pulling it out?
I would just cut it down.
You can't pull the roots out? Are they attached to fuel, attached to anything in the ground?
I could try, I guess.
Yeah. Take a look at that, see what you think. Catch my eye every morning.
All right. Yeah. We'll get rid of it so you don't have to look at it anymore.
Thank you. But I look at it around my buildings all the time and this stuff bugs the heck out of me because it never gets better. Then you have a problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got a question. Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Add late privilege to the floor.
Huh?
You'll have time. Late privilege, yes, sir.
Our new Freightliner chassis is being outfitted with equipment. That's the one we got almost a year ago. It finally went out and got just had the equipment installed on it. We should see that back sometime first, second week of November is what tentatively the dates I'm hearing right now. We'll see if that happens or not. Last year you heard me talk about buying a snowblower for a skid steer. I'm still interested in doing that. It did go up a little bit this year. I do have the estimates here for it. They're looking at about $12,700 for an 84-inch snowblower. In case we run into problems again, they're predicting a large winter again this year. I mean, nobody knows. In our developed areas, we're having problems keeping the snow banks back. I wanted to get a snow blower to try to truck some of that snow out of there. We had some problems with some residents last year pushing snow banks back onto their lawns. And so that would resolve that problem. So I'm still looking into buying that. As soon as I get my last estimates in, I'll let the board know. But it's about a 10 or 12 week order, so to go on that.
Is that one of those double, what you say, a double auger?
It's a double auger.
Yeah, nice.
I believe this one's a double auger, yes.
Nice.
I'm working on my CHIPS paperwork, which is the New York State program for reimbursement of some road repairs. I'll be getting that completed and get it in. And I did attend the New York State Highway Conference in Niagara Falls September 23rd through 26th, if anybody wants to see what it was all about, the programs I went to. I do have that here, anybody wants to see. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Buildings and codes, Mr. Maxwell left a report for review. Assessor, Matt Pelusic, not here tonight. Planning Board Chair, Patty Goldsmith.
Yep. So, of course, we had our public hearing for the Pathstone Deerfield Apartments site plan review on the 24th of September. That was very well attended. We had 66 people on the sign-in sheets, and we did try to be sure at the end, if they had people hadn't signed up, that we, you know, called anybody else who would like to speak. So, and then most of the questions were answered by representatives from Pathstone and the engineers and the town officials that were there. So it went pretty well. I think we limited the times to, you know, how long people can talk, ask a question. And I think it went fairly smoothly. And then at the October 8th meeting, our regular meeting, we had some motions that we finalized as far as seeker. And of course we made the approval of the recommendations to the town board, which you have the package with you. And then we also approved the preliminary site plan application for the Pathstone project. And then we moved on to the discussion about battery energy storage systems. Right now, the board members feel that we should probably prohibit the tier two systems in the town. When we do the ordinance that we're working on with the update. The other thing we've talked about including is wording for electrical vehicle charging stations, because I don't think, other than the electrical codes through the country and through the state, I don't think we have anything in the town that addresses EV charging stations. So we're looking at including that into the battery storage system ordinance in the update. And that's about it.
Okay, thanks. ZBA and seniors, Laura.
We haven't had many hearings at all this year, but this month everybody wanted, well, I have two. We're going to have a hearing this coming Thursday on the 16th for an oversized accessory building, and another one on the 30th. I did meet with a gentleman who was looking to buy a house in Deerfield, and he had questions about fencing, and I went down to where he was and told him what was allowed, and it was one of those questionable corner lots, so I'm not sure if he's buying the house or not. So you just had their Oktoberfest. Well, it was German, a lot of worst, and of course our sauerkraut and our red German cabbage. Along with, we had the Schwarzwalder Kirschtorte, Black Forest chocolate cake. And it was very good, along with a Bavarian tort. And we do well when it comes to food.
Can I answer?
Now that's going to be going on for the next few months. And once we get into December, I don't plan trips or anything because we never know what our weather's going to be. And as normal, if Waynesboro School is closed due to inclement weather, that means we're just as important as the kids and we don't get out on the road.
Could you give me those two dates for your zoning appeals?
October 16th, that's this Thursday, and October 30th.
Okay, thank you.
You should have received a copy of the statement from the...
Yes.
...the newspaper, so...
Yep.
And the other one will be going out this weekend, so...
Okay, all set? All right, thank you. Historian John Fauci, I believe he's here. Nope. Right here. Parks Committee, Debbie Burke.
Yes, hello. So Hal Brown and I had a tour of the new pagoda for moving the trails from Sam. And I want to thank Sam for picking out a vehicle with the heat and the doors and the window. We did ride the trails and see some places that could use some trimming back, so we're going to get with Sam on that. Hopefully we'll find some time to do that, either, you know, in combination with the town and some volunteers clean up some of the trails. On a side note, in the Mohawk Valley Water Authority rep for the town, this Monday the 20th, I think Monday is the 20th, right? Monday the 20th is the public hearing for the Water Authority, and there is a small rate increase this year. So it's a public hearing for anybody to attend. I can get the time and give it to Karen for the notes.
Okay.
That's all I have right now.
All right, thanks, Deb. Town Attorney, Mr. Schmidt.
All set, thank you, Mr. Schmidt.
All right. Official reports, no media time. Okay, late privilege of the floor.
Okay, Sam Curry. My name is Tim Connors. Just for your information, when I called the town highway department, your answering service, you can hardly hear it.
Okay.
Can you check that out and see if everybody else is having any problems calling you?
Nobody's come forward, but I will check it.
Yeah, it is pretty quiet. Very quiet. It is quiet. It's a low tone.
I got to change the message anyway now, so.
Okay. So that's all. I was worried that you weren't getting the messages.
Okay.
So I just wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Bisa.
I just had a few questions in there, some past summer that happens. Patty did clarify a few things for me, but my question was the $62,000, would that have to be divvied up amongst the state, the county, the school district? And she did clarify that and say yes, but I don't know if the body here realizes that that $62,000 wasn't solely going to the town for tax revenue. And the other question was the daycare center. They're a for-profit operating out of a nonprofit. Would they be paying taxes?
Patty, do you know that question? If not, we can...
Something
you'd have to ask me. Okay, yeah. Let me add that to my list to ask. I'll ask Mr. Pelusic to get that information.
That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, Ron, can you, do you mind, I'll get your email address after?
Sure.
I mean, I'll post that. Once I get that information, I'll post it on the website, but if I can respond, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes, just state your name, please.
My name is Mary Rose Moon.
Oh, yes, okay.
I just wanted to see if we could go around to each individual person on the board and let me know where you stand on the municipal or the low-income housing. It's a yay or a nay. It doesn't have to be a long thing, but I would like to know where each one of you stand on what you think about yes or no for that. And I know you have in your head what you really want, so let's be honest. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ms. Kuska, you could start. We'll go right around the board here.
I've seen nothing that convinces me that it's a good idea for the council, and no.
Thank you.
I apologize, but I can't give you an answer right now.
Why?
Simply, there's some. We're still waiting for some information about the
water.
Let's please keep order. Yeah. Let Mr. Kolick make his statement.
And
please.
I have not made a final decision yet.
You're not just in time.
I have. Mm-hmm. Why can't you?
Councilperson, your tone.
I can't make a decision until I've looked at all the facts. I have no answer.
It's too boring.
All right, let's keep order, please.
Excuse me? You have no right to say that, sir.
I know.
You don't. Just so you know.
Let's keep order. Let's keep order, please.
Let's make that clear.
Then answer the question.
He
hasn't had a chance yet.
Section 1303, procedure for the approval of the development. No permit shall be issued until the planning board has approved the proposed site plan, which is incomplete because of factors that haven't been solved yet. Because of that, the town board... On section 1304E, there's possible sewer and water issues that have to be vetted before the planning board can recommend to the town board.
So if that's vetted, where are you going to vote?
Yeah, or no? It depends on what gets vetted.
What if there's an issue where nothing can happen?
But it was already, he asked Mr. Buck whether he was for it or not, but now you guys won't answer the questions.
Well, he could have said the same thing, sir. We don't tell him what to say.
That's all we're asking for is people can answer honestly.
He could have said whatever he wanted. It's not up to us.
Excuse me, I hit the floor and he answered.
Yes.
But fine.
So why can't, as a human being, us town residents, give us the truth?
I believe everyone is giving.
We can go at this time.
What do you want?
Ma'am, we have rules, procedure...
No, I'm not asking about the rules. I'm asking you personally.
Excuse me. We have rules, procedure, and due process. It's in the planning board's hands by law. The town board cannot circumvent the planning board until they...
You have the last say. What I would just like to know, as a town resident for 70 freaking years, yes or no?
I can't vote.
Really? Well, we can vote, though, in November.
Okay.
Then we get the answer.
All right. Okay. Anyone else?
Ms. Collins, yes.
Do we have any idea about Pat Stone's plan with making a certain amount of those residents senior?
At this point, I have not heard anything yet based off of the planning board's recommendations, no.
If they don't agree to that, I mean, that's a recommendation. So if they don't agree to the senior housing, will that affect whether or not it goes through?
I mean, most certainly, I believe that based on our town comprehensive plan, it clearly states that multi-resident complexes constructed in the town should be for senior citizens. So I think that's the stance that the board's taking at this time.
That's our hope.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were first.
Is Mr. Wojtanowicz or Mr. Clark here tonight to get their opinion on how they feel about the housing project, the ones that are running in November?
Mr. Wojtanowicz, I'm here.
Yeah, what? Yeah. I don't believe we have to take this. This is not part of the town.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not gonna, you didn't answer either.
Yeah, I did. I made my statement in the beginning.
Okay.
Yes. And we're not, no, we don't, yeah, we don't need, I mean, if you'd like to speak, go ahead.
I'll circle back to the question if
sure.
It was raised, if you guys are for or against the housing, besides Fusco, everybody did raise their hands, that you guys are for the past on project, so now that you don't want to answer it, previously you guys didn't answer yes. But I would agree with Mr. Fusco, I am against this housing because there's a lot of safety issues.
Okay.
And especially a lot of residents are against it too. So pretty much we work with the residents, we guys work for residents, so we list the residents as well. We're gonna direct the income to everyone. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Rosa.
I think I'd just like to lighten it up a little bit, if you don't mind. For something that, for what it's worth, Karen, you were talking about the dogs and sending out these posters, these things, whatever. Because we have spent the money on the website, and I'm assuming that when we registered these people, give them dog tags,
yes,
we got their either phone numbers or email addresses. Why don't you use your technology to do it instead of mailing out things? Because you'll also know when you send out an email to these people or text, you'll know with read receipts whether or not they actually opened it up and read it. So it's not like they can get something, even a postcard, and say, you know, I didn't get it, or it wasn't in my mailbox, or whatever it was. Can we utilize maybe, it might even save us some money, you know, on a town level, instead of sending out postage? I don't know if that's possible.
I'm not totally sure what you're saying. I do know that not everybody, the older people who have pets,
sure,
are not on the,
yeah, I understand.
On
not,
that.
It's not 100%.
So, and then I have been putting reminders in the newsletter on at least twice every year that we need to make sure our, right, dogs are licensed.
Yeah.
I also I put in doubt, my credits.
I really don't doubt you're doing everything. I'm just suggesting, maybe for what it's worth, maybe that's a cost-efficient way of communicating to those 200 people. Your dog license will be up in a month. And if 90% of them do have a phone or do have an email address, that saves you 90% of the postage. And
then you're going to have to hire another person. And that's going to cost a lot of money for another income and insurance and so on. I am...
Send a notice out? You mean it'll cost more money to send a notice out to these people who got to...
If I have to make a phone call to each one of these people...
No, I'm saying an email. Your computer. Use your computer.
Not everybody has emails. So now I've got to do
that. Back to what I'm saying. You keep circling back. 90% of us do have emails or a phone. And what I'm saying is, as opposed to sending out and costing the town money on all of them, why not single out the ones who don't have a phone and email, send out the half a dozen or 2 dozen out of the 200, and then make the rest of it be for a penny by going through our website or through our database or through the stuff that we just spent money on as a town, sophisticating our IT capability. Why can't we use that as a way to communicate?
We can look into that.
We'll look into it.
Yeah.
Right.
As soon as I get an assistant to help me.
Why we don't utilize some of the things we've already paid for.
It just seems like overkill. We're, you know, I know if I send something to the address that's on their license, that it will go there. I cannot be sure that they're reading the newsletter, they're reading the friends and family, that they're reading the newsletter.
But you can't be sure if you send an email that they read that because it's read receipts, so you do know that.
I'm saying it. I don't know. I know that if I mail it out and it doesn't come back,
sorry,
that they've gotten it.
I did not mean to talk over your head. I really didn't. I'm just knowing that as a business people, we do this all the time. I know it's very cost efficient for our clients and businesses to reduce expenses by utilizing the same tools you currently have as a town. And that's the only reason that I threw it out there. Not to put anyone on a tough spot. I just wanted to know if that would help you. If that would help you, you might want to consider it, because instead of getting postcards done or something, you can just make a postcard on your computer, send it out electronically, know they got it, and then you know that it's really accomplished the same thing. So
maybe it's something, I barely made it through the numeration.
I got it.
So maybe it's something we can talk about going forward.
That's fine. And then I didn't mean to really get even that heavy into it. I will say back to back to the housing project. We have two people that are running for election right now, and as everyone knows. And I think that this is probably a very good litmus test to let people know how our people that represent us stand. And that doesn't mean that because there's a few of us here that don't want it, there could be many, many more times people who do want this, and many of the people who support it could be right in terms of what the majority want. I think they're wrong. I think they're wrong. But what I'm saying is that this is a wonderful, wonderful litmus test 3 weeks before the election for the town of Deerfield residents to speak up and decide who represents them and for what reasons. And so I'm really happy I attended tonight's meeting. Thanks a lot.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
John Lee. I am a Deerfield resident. And I just want to tell you, tell everybody here, I believe in the Constitution very strongly, and I believe in free speech. And I, for one, and I don't know how many others up here you hear had listened to the broadcast where Councilman Dusko was interviewed. I listened to that. I didn't hear anything that he said that was derogatory or inappropriate. And I feel that he is very informed, extremely knowledgeable about this whole Horatio Street project. And I really appreciate him taking the time and having the courage to inform the rest of us as to what's really happening. And I just want to thank him for that.
Thank you.
Sir?
Larry Julio, quick question. I've done some research and Phil brought it up. Phil, there is a problem potentially with lack of sewer, lack of water, and then a tie-in with Marcy pump station.
Yes.
Now, if it's a problem, and they have to put new sewer, who's paying for the sewer, the water? Is it a town responsibility?
Well, no, Mr. Julio, thank you.
It's a problem, but
yes,
there's got to be an answer.
That would be the responsibility of the property owners if there's an issue to correct it. That's why it's so important. If there's an issue and everybody looks over it, what happens if development continues and the infrastructure, all of a sudden there's not enough or this or that? It's no responsibility of the town for an infrastructure issue. I believe I'm correct.
The town would not pay for the water.
No,
the recommendation made by the planning board specifically suggests to the town board that they look into two technical issues. One is water. It's not a problem whether there's enough water. The problem is it might be too much water because of the flood. The second problem is sewer capacity. The town does have an agreement with Marcy where some of its sewer capacity is being used. And our town engineer, providing counsel to the planning board, indicated that the Pathstone project might be using up the vast majority of what capacity is left. So again, the planning board recommended to the town board that they discuss with the overall developer when and how are they going to guarantee, if this project goes forward, there's sufficient water and sewer for the rest of the development. Those discussions have already begun.
Well, the way I understand that, if the housing project goes in, you seriously exceed the sewer capacity. And if they lower 47 acres, that's impossible to put water and sewer. That sewer main is going to have to be brand new for the entire area. That's probably a reason why they haven't developed that yet. You know, they turned down a lot of offers from SUNY. But I think they're stuck with it.
Mr. Giulio, I made several trips to the water pollution plant to look into exactly what you're saying. I did my due diligence. There's a main size,
right,
you're probably familiar with. There's an intermunicipal agreement that is a factor. I'm not an engineer, I'm not an attorney, but it's got to be vetted before.
Correct.
I know everybody's mad that we took that stance, but we have to follow the rules of procedure and the law. And right now, that's in the planning board's hands until these issues get solved. I'm sorry. I know people are upset, but I have to do my job.
You answered the question.
Thank you.
You really answered the question. If there is not sufficient sewer to water, because then the developer's got to pay for it. Not that, I just want to make sure that
not the town
is not paying for any of it.
No, sir, that's private property, sir.
I think the town needs more than who's going to pay for it. They need a commitment that it's going to be paid for.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that's
yeah, that's no private questions. Property, nothing to do with town.
Okay.
Thanks, Larry.
Good answer.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else for late privilege?
Oh, Buffalo.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gassner?
Yeah. Yeah, I had that question of who can rent on this project, because low income, it says that you have to have 60% or below to rent, and yet they advertise workforce, which says you have to have 80% to 120% above. So it looks like nobody in the workforce can rent.
I got your email. I responded. This is a question that Assemblywoman Buttonshan is struggling to get.
Okay.
And we're waiting on that answer as well.
They can't rent.
Greg, will she come to one of our meetings, actually show up here to talk to us?
I'll definitely reach out to her and ask her. Yeah.
I spoke to the governor's office, and they referred me to home community renewal. I had that exact question. And they said they'd get right back to me. I have not received that answer. And it all comes down to the original question. Hey, people had me wrong in the beginning. All I wanted to point out in the beginning, before I started peeling back the onion, was this is a LIHTC program, a low income housing tax credit program. And it took forever for that to be accepted in public awareness, and I'm not so sure yet it is. The supervisor knows it is because he posted an email exchange with Mr. Sackett from Pat Stone on the website, where Pat Stone and Mr. Sackett confirmed that, yes, it is. We do have a competitive tax credit program in place. So that is now accepted. Why HCR has not returned my phone call, I don't know. So that is why we have an assembly representative, and hopefully she gets that answer back to us promptly.
I will tell you right now, I probably spent about 22 hours in the past 3 days on the phone with Mary Ann, trying to get answers from as many people as we can, as she can.
Is she having trouble? I mean, are they working with her?
She's having trouble too.
Yeah, they didn't respond.
She is not getting a response, and she is not happy. I mean, she's fighting for everyone here as well, so.
But she's for the project. She came out and
she for the project. She did say that she's putting... No, listen, she's putting this, her stance is on hold right now until she gets the answer she wants, okay, sir? Yes, Ms. Collins.
Did you ever hear back from the Whitesboro School District?
Whitesboro School District has not contacted me.
So on this list of every department that's been reached out, I mean, did the board hear from every single one of them?
Or no, the school district does not have an obligation to reach out when Seeker is, you know, right, presented. They did not reach out to the planning board, and they're not returning my calls.
Just because they're party we've reached out to, there's a time frame, I believe, of 31 days.
Yes.
And if they don't
reply, it's inferred that they don't care, basically.
Right.
They have
if
no
they don't reply, they don't have an issue.
How are we supposed to use the knowledge that they have to make a decision?
If they don't reply, they're not offering an opinion or anything.
But don't they have an obligation?
No, they don't.
Even morally? Forget it. Morally, they don't?
All right, we're gonna close up late privilege at this time. We're gonna move right on to a motion to pay bills. I need a motion to pay general fund bills 304 through 333.
I'll make the motion.
I second that.
Excuse me, the meeting's not done yet. Please keep it down.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
I need a motion. We pay highway funds 177 through 203.
A motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I need a motion. We pay sewer bill number 9.
I'll make the motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I need a motion. We adjourn.
I make a motion.
I'll second.